You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Today, we'll discuss Come From Away, which opened recently at the Amundsen Theater. Jennifer Lynn O'Hara, one of our West of Broadway ensemble members, talks about Elf the Musical, which she saw in Long Beach. And another awesome ensemble member, Wendy Rosoff, was at a screening of Mary Poppins Returns with Lin-Manuel Miranda himself. It's West of Broadway for December 5th, 2018.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong, along with radio host and theater enthusiast Lara Scott. And we can't wait to tell you about one of the greatest theater experiences of both of our lives in just a moment. But first, let's get to some LA theater buzz.
Okay, if you missed Dear Evan Hansen like we did at the Amundsen Theater, which, by the way, smashed weekly box office records in LA with five consecutive weeks over 2 million. Well, Center Theater Group has announced a return engagement, and for that we say thank you. Yeah, on behalf of Will and myself, thank you for doing this.
We will be found.
I know. It'll be back during the 2020-2021 season, which feels like forever, but hey, it's almost 2019 as we're recording this. So Will, like, on the calendar now, we must get ourselves there when it comes back.
Agreed. And the gayest Christmas pageant ever comes to the Sherry Theater in December 7th and runs through to December 22nd.
Is that actually the name of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
No, seriously. It's 18 comedic actors play nearly 30 different characters in a Christmas spectacular that is sure to get you in the holiday mood. The fast-paced holiday comedy follows a small gay community theater as they struggle to pull together their annual holiday pageant. Tickets and information are available at DefianceTheaterCompany.com.
Well, the first national tour of the Tony Award-winning Broadway smash, Come From Away, opened its Los Angeles engagement on November 28th at the Amundsen Theater. And we were there for that one, Will.
We sure were. And it was just so amazing, and it is so hard to describe how this affected both of us. I think we both cried through the whole thing.
We did, and everybody around us was crying. The lady next to me was searching for a tissue in her purse.
No, I had a sweater. It was super long, and I just kind of so thankful for it because I just kept wiping and wipe and took off my glass. It was
Someone needs to come up with a sweater that has like tissues for the sleeves or something like that, because it happens. Sometimes you go to these shows, and again, we walked in knowing nothing about it, and we just weren't prepared for how that emotional impact was going to hit us. So Come From Away tells the remarkable true story of 7,000 stranded passengers on 9/11 in the small town of Gander in Newfoundland that welcomed them. And I should say, we don't learn the stories of all 7,000.
No.
As I would say that, I was like, wait, that would be a really long show. But you focus on a small group of highlights. Highlights. Now, there were people from all over the world, from different cultures, who spoke different languages. So everybody was stressed out. So you have everyone with different languages, everybody stressed, you get some clashes. But there was also trust, gratitude, friendship, and lots of music. And well, why don't we start there with the music?
It was amazing. I loved everything about it. Irene Sankoff and David Hein created some amazing music and lyrics, and of these haunting, toe-tapping, poignant, and oftentimes magical tunes. Like, it's everything you needed to be to such a delicate topic. It was so brave and respectful. It was just really amazing. My favorite part, though, I don't know if it was yours too.
Yeah,
I feel like it was everybody's.
It was everybody's.
was the pilot when she sang about being the first female pilot for American Airlines, and how she loved flying, and how the song evolved, and as she took off in flight in her story, she got higher and higher and higher. It was just so beautiful, and the whole show moves so quickly that some shows they stop and they're like, ba-da, and everyone applauds. That didn't happen. They went to the next thing. And at the end of her song, half the audience was like, damn it, I'm clapping, you know? And it was just, because we had to pay respect for this beautiful song so beautifully performed.
And a beautiful life.
Oh.
I don't want to give away too much, and we will put a spoiler alert at the beginning of the show, because we've already given away too much. But the way that she tells her story from being a kid who always wanted to fly to then being in the air the day that 9/11 happened and ending up in this tiny town that she'd flown over a million times, and her story of how this affected her, because everybody has that story, right, of where they were when the plane hit and what they were doing. And this was hers.
Tracy Gilchrist, who's the she's the host of the Advocates podcast, and she's an incredible LGBT editor and producer. And I ran into her in the theater, and we were messaging back and forth after the show. And I said that I was so overwhelmed with my own story of September 11th, and I thought everybody in this room must be going through that same journey like that. So it was because this story is more heartfelt and inspirational than focusing on the tragedy and the loss.
It's the catalyst for all these other stories being told.
But it's about the human spirit and generosity and treating others as we would want to treat, like if we were in that situation, how everyone just opened their homes and opened their hearts. It was, this is the furthest I've gotten explaining my experience without crying. Like it was, it's been like a week now and I'm just still so moved and haunted by this incredible story of hope.
Yes. And I was going to say, ultimately, it's a hopeful story because I had somebody say, well, wasn't it depressing? And I said, no. I mean, it does take you back to the emotion of that day. And looking around, I didn't see any kids. I mean, pretty much everybody I saw looked like they were old enough to have gone through 9/11 and remember that. So we're bringing all of that with us into the theater. But ultimately, you come out of it. And for me, I thought back to those images of everyone in Manhattan, you know, helping people walk down the street or welcoming them into their homes, and how out of just such awful things, something beautiful came.
This was before everyone had a cell phone. This was before everyone had that instant communication. There were lines of people waiting by broken payphones, you know, and like that was the best we could do. And for these people that from all over the world all of a sudden found them in this place they didn't want to be and didn't know where they were, and dealing with xenophobia of people from all over the world and not knowing who to trust and what was going on and if they were. It was just so incredible. It was incredible.
They really did a great job, I think, of taking us to that place where nobody really knew what was happening, you know, and feeling a lot disoriented in that moment.
It was also so incredible that such a large cast of characters was played by a relatively small group of really talented people who played multiple roles.
Yeah. Let's talk about how they did that, because first of all, every single person is amazing. And I think they're all on stage the entire time, except maybe when they're like running through the trees to come through a door as a different character. Yeah. But it's going to sound like a comedy show the way I'm going to describe it, because somebody would be speaking like, ooh, a boot, in this very thick Canadian accent, turn around, put a jacket on, and suddenly they're a Southern person speaking with a very thick Southern drawl. So not only are they remembering their lines, but they're remembering which accent, like nobody messed up. Nobody was dressed as a Canadian speaking with a Brooklyn accent.
Well, I found myself emotionally like connecting with one actor in their three different roles. And towards the end of the show, when one of the roles was done and you didn't think you were going to see them again, I felt like I was going to miss that character.
Yes, I didn't want it to end.
Oh my God, it was so good. And they had, it was just, and like the woman with the Brooklyn accent, it was so Brooklyn. And then the Canadian accents were so amazing. And there was Egyptian and there was, like you said, Dallas. And it was just, and the songs and the music and the performances, it was such a talented group of stellar performers. I'm so proud to have been there the opening night.
Yes. Well, you looked like one of the cast members because you were dressed in a red red plaid flannel shirt. You were straight in from Canada.
Incidentally, the Canadian consulate was there. Mm-hmm. They must be so proud of this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's Canada is just amazing. It's full of just, like, you know, there's stereotypes. The stereotypical Canadian is this lovely, wonderful, very friendly person is like, excuse me, you know? Even the people from the consulate and the Mounties that were there on the red carpet, they were so kind and nice.
They're posing for photos with everybody.
And proud to share this story of, like, hope and generosity of spirit. It was incredible.
And by the way, we have to give a shout out to another podcast, and that is the one that Center Theater Group, they do everything at the Amundsen, and they invited us. Thank you so much for hosting us for the opening of Come From Away. But they do a great podcast called 30 to Curtain, and they had Irene Sankoff and David Hine on their real life husband and wife, and they talked about where they got the idea for this and why they decided it should be a musical. And it's only like 30 minutes or so. They go through their whole process of how this came about. It's really fascinating, and I highly recommend it.
Oh, that podcast is great.
So good. And we should talk about Come From Away. That's what they call the people from other places. Mm-hmm. Come From Aways. They call them Come From Aways or the Plain People. So I want to specifically mention Becky Goldsvig, and I hope I'm saying her name right. She plays Beverly, the American Airlines pilot. Oh. She sang Me in the Sky. And also Danielle K. Thomas is Hannah, a mom who is frantically trying to reach her firefighter son back home in Manhattan while she is stranded in Gander. So we have the book, the music, and the lyrics by Sankoff and Hine, directed by Christopher Ashley. It was so funny, Will, because you texted me this, and I was going to text you because I had just seen it on Twitter. Christopher Ashley is talking about the Come From Away movie, which I hope happens. Scenic design by Tony Award winner Beowulf Borat. Yep. And then lighting design by two-time Tony Award winner Howell Binkley, who did Hamilton. I remember I said, wow, the lighting and the turntables, like the lighting really reminded me of Hamilton. They made great use of different colored lights and the spotlights to, like you were saying, turn the camera to focus on that character at that moment. And you want to talk about what happened at the end? Because this was one of those opening night moments that just...
Well, it was so special because they had some of the people that the characters are based on came out for curtain call with the actors that were portraying them in the show. And when Beverly walked out with her real-life counterpart, who was the retired airline captain, I started crying again.
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, it brought it home that these were real people, and we just watched their lives play out on screen. And there were two people that I, even though we're going to do a spoiler alert, I'm not going to talk about it because it was such a great surprise what happens with them. And they were there as well. So it was really, really lovely. So I'm convinced that you cannot see the show and not be changed when you walk out. Someone tweeted that it makes you want to be a better human being. Oh. And I heartily agree to that. I would add it's going to make you want to move to Newfoundland. My brother-in-law and nephew are Canadian, Will, so they can sponsor us. All right. But let us know what you think after you see Come From Away. Tickets are available at centertheatregroup.org, and that's center, T-H-E-A-T-R-E group.org, and it's playing through January 6th.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
Jennifer Lynn O'Hara, one of our West of Broadway ensemble members, just checked out Elf the musical. And it's been so hard not to ask her how it was because I wanted to save it all for this episode. But now all will be revealed. JJ, welcome back to West of Broadway.
JJ!
Thank you. Yay! So glad to be here.
Tell us everything.
Everything is fantastic. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
We're doing great. And yes, so we were just talking about Come From Away. And this is what I love about LA is that you could see that in downtown. And then you were in Long Beach, right, for Elf?
Yes, Long Beach. Yep, Carpenter Performing Arts Center to see Elf the Musical.
Okay, so Elf with Will Ferrell is one of my not just favorite Christmas movies, but favorite movies of all time.
Gosh.
I love you, I love you, I love
so. I love you.
How faithful was this to the movie?
You know, surprisingly faithful. I was unsure how they were going to do some of this stuff, but it was surprising. They did make some minor tweaks.
Sure.
But it is not, the story is not lost. It's, the story is actually very faithful to the original movie, so fans of the original movie will love Elf the Musical.
Yay!
Good. And is it a good one to bring kids to?
Yes, it's absolutely wonderful to bring kids to. Just like Elf the Musical, or just like Elf the Movie, Elf the Musical is one of those, you know, it's a classic Christmas tale with a happily ever after and, you know, good moral message, all that kind of good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, Will Ferrell, those are some big pointy elf shoes to step into, right, for anyone. And a tiny, tiny little outfit to step into. How was the actor who played Buddy the Elf?
Buddy the Elf was played by Matt Owen, and he actually did a fantastic job. And he's so much Buddy the Elf that he's actually played it in several major theaters across the U.S.
Awesome.
So this is kind of his a niche for him right now, from what I can tell based on his bio, is playing Buddy the Elf. And man, sometimes you really did see Will Ferrell in Matt Owen, so it was lovely.
That is awesome. Christmas amazes me because we live in this culture where we consume music and then throw it away, or consume something and then and we're done with it. But if you do a Christmas classic, we never tire of it. And every year it's part of the tradition. And I feel like Elf really fixed itself right in there with this incredible movie. And then for it to transition into a theatrical stage version, it was just genius.
Yeah, I would have not seen that coming. And maybe now they'll go back and make Elf the musical movie right now.
Okay.
So let's talk about
you know
that
what?
Aspect.
I could see that coming too. Yeah. And here's the great thing about both Elf and Elf the Musical is that it's just happy.
Mm-hmm.
I started smiling during the overture, and I did not stop smiling until after I walked out of the venue. I mean, it was just a happy, happy, feel good movie. It is it's just fun.
Now, what was the music like?
You know. I love the musical. Of course, it's all original music, and it was one of the things that I loved about it. Of course, sort of an homage to the classic musical numbers. They did a lot of big tap numbers.
Yay!
Which I loved. In fact, they closed the musical with a giant all-cast Tap number, and it was fantastic. So the music is very catchy, very upbeat. You know, there's a couple of very poignant songs where the Kim Huber, who plays Emily Hobbs, and Travis Burnett, who plays Michael Hobbs, mother and son, they have this lovely little song that's very, it's very poignant, but still, you know, positive. And then all the rest of the music is just, it's lovely and upbeat and happy.
Very, very cool. Well, the composer is Matthew Sklar, who I know from doing 42nd Street on Broadway. He was he was our conductor. And right now, he has just opened Prom on Broadway.
Oh, I just saw that during the Macy's Parade. That looks so good.
I'm so excited and so proud of him. He is a musical genius. And it was, and and I was so, watching him workshop and bring Elf to the stage was so exciting. And thanks to Facebook, I was able to keep in track of all of that. And for it to turn into like this annual event is so amazing. And now for him to be doing Prom, I can't wait for it to go on tour so we can see it.
Yeah. Maybe you could do a review of that for us, JJ. Or we can all go together.
We're going together.
We're all going. We're all going to Prom, y'all. We get a do-over. Well, you know what, JJ? What else should we know about Elf the musical? I know it's going to be wrapping up its run here in just a little bit, but I'm sure somebody will be doing this again maybe next holiday season. But, you know, what else should we know about this?
You know, one of the things that I love the most about it is the role of the secretary, Deb, is really expanded in the musical more so than the movie, and it is such a fun role to watch. So when you go see Elf the musical, be prepared to see just this wacky Deb secretary character that's really, it's really, really fun. And just be prepared to smile because, you know, smiling is my favorite. because it's just happy, happy. So the Musical Theater West production of Elf the Musical runs through December 9th, and it's at the Carpenter Center, Carpenter Performing Arts Center, which is on the campus of the of Cal State Long Beach.
Awesome.
And you can get tickets at musical.org.
Wonderful. Well, my cheeks hurt from smiling, from talking to you, JJ.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's
and
one
also,
more thing.
You know, looking at their website, they've got amazing things coming up at this particular venue. They've got Elf, they've got Oliver. They have Catch Me If You Can, and they've got Disney's The Little Mermaid that are all coming up after the new year.
That's all such incredible stuff to take, do a family outing and go with the family and the kids and an extended family and just really have an amazing evening of theater. That's
and
great.
Especially if you're like South Bay area here in L.A., Long Beach, San Pedro, Huntington Beach. Sometimes it's not the easiest to get to Hollywood or downtown. So it's so great. There's so many great theater groups and places to see shows sort of in that area. And JJ, you're doing an awesome job keeping us up to date. So
thank you so much, JJ.
Jennifer Little O'Hara.
I'm so happy to be part of this. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you on Instagram at Jennifer Lynn O'Hara.
Yay.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
We love you, JJ. You're still there.
I love you.
All right, bye. For real. You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
And we are joined here today in studio with friend of the pod and proud West of Broadway ensemble member, actress, writer, and all-around genius, Wendy Rosoff. Wendy, of course, last joined us for her insight into Musical Theater Guild's production of Sugar, which she choreographed. But today, she's giving us the details from exclusive star-studded screening of the premiere of the anxiously awaited feature film Mary Poppins Returns. Welcome, Wendy!
Hi! I love this. Claps.
Well, thank you for coming down to the studio. Like, it's awesome to see you in person.
Yes.
And Will had texted me and said, yeah, Wendy's at the Mary Poppins Returns premiere. So first of all, how did you get invited to that?
Well, so, okay, let me clarify. This actually wasn't the premiere. This was a SAG-AFTRA event, which is the Screen Actors Guild, for those of you that are not in the know.
And they wanted to get into as well, though. Like, some of those events, there's a lot of competition.
So it was so weird. I mean, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, like, caught wind of it, and I went on the site and was able to grab myself a spot. And it was at the Grove at the Pacific Theaters, and they just throw great events. These are called SAG-AFTRA Conversations, and what it is an advanced screening. Mm-hmm. And then one of the members of the cast or creative team are there, and after the film, you get to listen to them speak and ask questions and just kind of have a general hubbub with them about the experience. And it was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I saw your post on Facebook.
I know, and it was just amazing. Honestly, it was like sitting with a friend in a living room.
Yeah.
He's
really
just a cool guy.
Who incidentally just got his star on the Walk of Fame.
The
right
next day.
Amazing.
Yes, yes. So just super cool all-around experience, regardless of the film. It's just such a great way to kind of see new things that are coming out and get insight from the people that are involved in it themselves.
Yeah, and you know, everybody loves him, so I feel like for him, walking into a crowd of actors wouldn't be that scary, but I feel like for most people, that's kind of a tough crowd where it's your peers, it's other industry professionals, and they probably ask some pretty hard-hitting questions, I would guess.
You know, sometimes, but my experience of it is that everybody is just really there to support each other.
There's
awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, I'm so happy.
Every
to hear
event
that.
That I have been to has really been a love fest, because at the end of the day, like, we're all in this together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, particularly this, when he came out, I mean, it was a standing ovation. I mean, actually, in the film itself, if the film could have stopped and the audience could have gotten up and given a standing O, it would have happened.
Wow. Really?
It was that magical.
Really?
Yes!
Okay,
yes.
I was going to say, what was the scene? But then we don't want to give away anything
I
about
wanna tell
film.
You,
yeah, we can't say anything about
I want to talk
yeah.
all about it and tell you as little as possible.
Right.
I really do, because I want everybody to have the experience of discovering the magic, you know, on their own for the first time.
Yes.
For me, the original is sacred.
Yeah.
And so did you go in there with a chip on your shoulder, ready to be like, okay, impress me? Or were you just like, all right, whatever? You
know? All right, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I was not a kid who grew up on Mary Poppins. I've seen it, and I've played Mary Poppins, but I've never, like, had a particular attachment to it, right? So I know there are so many people that are going in there, you know, with their arms crossed going, show me what you got. I was not like that. I just had zero expectations.
Yeah. I wanted to be Dick Van Dyke. Like, I was where do I go to learn how to sweep chimneys? Like, this is what I want to do for a living.
God, but you guys. So I'm just going to start by saying Dick Van Dyke is in it, and he is the most delicious, magical.
So
well, everybody's delicious and magical, but he has one of the most spectacular, you know, 11th hour kind of moments in a film, and he just blows it out of the water. And he's like 91 years old, and you would never know.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say anymore, but he just does it. And Lin-Manuel was even saying, like, when they were running the scene with him, and Dick Van Dyke was like, I got this, clear for challenge. yeah. So he's just, you know, he's a gypsy. He's got that real kind of, like, in it to win it.
Do you
vibe.
Do you think, like, we live in a world, like, right now, like, we're having a moment where everything's about a reboot or a reinterpretation of something. Did you get that vibe from Mary Poppins, or is this something that...
Not at all. Okay, so this is not a reboot, it's not a redo, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why I loved it so much. It was a really natural continuation of the story. It wasn't even like a typical sequel that had no rhyme or reason. I feel like so much love was put into crafting this story. It takes place 20 years after the original ends. The Banks children are grown up. Michael Banks is living in the Banks family house.
Wow.
And he has three children, and his wife has just passed away. And he has unwittingly fallen behind in his house payments. Oh, so the bank comes to repossess the house, and it's just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for him. The actor that plays Michael Banks, his name is, oh gosh, what's his name? He's so
is it Ben?
Brilliant. It's, oh my gosh, where is it? I had it down. Anyway, he is so brilliant. Yes, Ben Whishaw is his name.
Right.
And he is, Emily Blunt is perfect. Ben Whishaw is the heartbeat of this film. He adds so much humanity to this piece, and all of these people are well developed. These characters are really well developed, you guys. It's not like we're watching some sort of, like, oh, two-dimensional. No, you're in it. And the way it's crafted is so perfect, because it's humanity just mixed with fantasy, and it's perfectly blended. And all of the elements of it being, I mean, we're living in a time where you can CGI your way through life.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell there were so many high-tech elements put into this, but it was mixed with live action and hand-drawn animation that just our childhoods just came, like, screaming back to us. And it's so beautifully done. And the choreography is gorgeous. The direction is perfect. You can tell Rob Marshall's heart was just in this.
And I think they realized how special Mary Poppins is to so many people. I went to a screening on the Disney lot, and I was surrounded by people that knew every word, that were dressed in costume, you know, as someone from the film, that were singing every word. It was a beautiful thing. I haven't seen this one. I saw the the first. It's so weird to call Mary Poppins the first one. Yeah,
right.
The first one a couple of months ago. But I think, you know, it's interesting with Disney, too, because Incredibles 2, the Wreck-It Ralph sequel that just came out, Ralph Breaks the Internet, I've heard a lot of parents say they almost don't feel like kid movies, like the kids enjoy them, but there's something so much deeper going on, whether it's nostalgia for your childhood or just the struggle of being a working parent, whatever it is, like I think they're intentionally putting this in there to really touch the hearts of the grown-ups that are going to see these films, and they're doing it. Like
I totally
incredible.
Agree, and you know, I can't speak to the others because I haven't seen them, but in the case of Mary Poppins Returns, it could not be more timely.
Yeah.
I mean,
awesome.
It just is such a feel-good, connecting piece of work that it just feels like this is its time. It's almost like this healing piece of – it's art. You know, it's a healing piece of art. Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to see it.
Were the, like, from the talk back when you got to listen to Lin-Manuel, was there anything that you left – like, what, can you share anything special that he said or told?
Well, I super don't want to give away spoilers again, and he definitely had a few yummy meow-meows to share with us. But, you know, one of the things that I took away from him is how much of a love fest it was making this film and how incredible Rob Marshall is to work for and to play with, and how he really allowed each actor to bring out the uniqueness and who they were in the role, and how Lin felt like the new kid on the block because all of these people were seasoned film and television actors, and this was his first big feature film, and so he was kind of like walking on gingerly, didn't quite know. And you know, not only did he receive support from his fellow cast members, but the creative team really was just incredibly nurturing, and he just felt like he couldn't be luckier to be a part of it. And he also talked specifically about, there's this opening scene where it's got this oldie-timey feeling where he's on a bike and he's riding around the streets of London with his lamp lighting stuff, lighting lamps and kind of singing through the streets, and it's very oldie-timey movie musical feel. And I guess Rob Marshall wanted to do it in one take, which is very old school. Mm-hmm. And so he started talking about how he grew up adoring MGM movie musicals. That's where he got his love of musicals from, which made me fall in love with him even more because I love that old school stuff. Yeah. His very favorite musicals are Singing in the Rain and Bandwagon. And so he just said, out of everything that he did, the dance numbers, the singing, the acting stuff, he had some stunt stuff going on. The thing that was the most nerve-wracking for him was that opening scene where he's riding through the street and he's singing and he's in a Cockney accent and he has to grab an apple from an apple cart, and while he's driving and singing and doing the Cockney accent, he tosses an apple to an orphan and has a little like moment with him, and then keeps on driving all in one take. And he was like, it nearly threw me over the edge. Like, that was really the end of me. But for him, it just seemed like, you know, an unbelievable opportunity, learning experience, and he just feels like gratitude for the experience. And you know what? You can also feel that in his performance. He's just all heart, too.
My first love is the stage, and I love that one-on-one experience that you have with the audience, but there's something so timeless about a movie musical that you're captured forever in this one moment in your life. For 42nd Street, we worked with Shirley Jones. And when I was cast in the producer's film, she came to me in my dressing room and she was like, I just heard you were cast. And she was just like, this is such a special thing that you're going to be a part of. And I was like, I'm no Marian Librarian. I'm just third Hitler from the right, but calm down.
Third Hitler from the right,
exactly.
As you do.
As you do.
That's amazing.
But I mean, just being a chorus boy who just like, I love movie musicals, and I just, to see every single person, like, you can watch it a million times and pick a different person and watch their journey and their performance, and just, it's just incredible. And I'm so glad that musicals are so celebrated.
They're a thing again. And
let me ask you, because
you're a choreographer. Yeah. I mean, you're an actress. Like, you do so many things. What did you think of the dancing in the film?
I thought it was fantastic.
Good.
I mean, he really captured, one of my favorite numbers is there's a big lamplighter dance number, and he really got that kind of old school male dancer. It's like a bunch of Gene Kellys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it was shot was perfect.
Awesome.
You'll see.
When can we see it? It sounds like Mary Poppins is returning at just the moment we need her. This is great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's officially opening for wide theatrical release on December 19th.
Perfect.
So get your tickets, because I already got another round of tickets for myself at El Capitan.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's almost sold out, you guys. So get to it.
We need to call our friend.
Shout out to Sharon over at the El Cap.
Wink, wink, nod, Sharon, make it happen.
You'll have to let us know, Wendy, when you go see it there, like what their pre-show entertainment's going to be, because it's always so special.
Yes!
Yay! Well, thank you, Wendy Rose.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Golf pops for everybody.
I know, but extra loud for you. Where can we keep up with you? I mean, we know, but let's tell everybody else where they can keep up with you.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, Wendy Rosoff, or at Wendy Rosoff on Twitter, Wendy Rosoff on Facebook, and also my website, www.surprisewendyrosoff.com.
I like that you're consistent.
One S, two Fs. I've made that mistake so many times.
Thank you.
Not Wendy Rosoff, Wendy Rosoff. Yeah. But you know what, Wendy? Speaking of community, like we were saying at the beginning about the SAG after screenings, you do such a great job of that, I feel like, for people in the industry, just on your social media, but keeping it real for people. So thank you for that.
Oh, I think it's so important. That's actually one of my platforms, is keeping it real, because I see so many people kind of, especially in this time, going down a wormhole with social media. And I think it's so important that we stay connected in reality with love and acknowledge everything that's going on.
Yeah, and celebrate each other.
Yes,
so,
please.
That's so awesome. All right. Well, a big thank you for joining us here. And Will, you ready to wrap us up? He's like, I don't know where my paper is. Here, I'll read your part. Thank you so much for joining us to celebrate musical theater in LA here on West of Broadway. Now, we invite you to subscribe on iTunes. You can check us out at westofbroadwaypodcast.com. And you can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Lara Scott Media.
And I'm Will Armstrong, PR, on all platforms. Once again, thanks for joining us on yet another celebration of musical theater. Hope it brightened your day. And if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.